God, touch our minds, touch our hearts. Open us up, God. You said that the deep calleth to the deep. God, there's some parts of me that have never been exposed to you. There's some things in my life that I've never put in your hand. There's some things that I've never done that I promised you I'd do if I ever got another chance. God, I ask that you open us up tonight. Examine us. Put us on display with ourselves so that we can see just what it is that needs to be let go of tonight. Take us to a place that we've always longed to be, but we've gotten caught up along the way. Take us, God. Take us into the throne room. Take us into the holy place. Take us into the place where, God, where your presence is so strong that we forget the words. We don't want to stand. We don't want to leave. Take us to a place where we can feel you like we've never felt you before. God, have your way in this service. I'm going to read a scripture right now, Luke chapter 19. I'm going to start at verse 1. It's rather lengthy. You don't have to turn to it. I'll just read it. Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 1, a familiar story. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You may be seated. You know, you read about the story of Zacchaeus, and I know most of it is very familiar. I don't know how he was raised. I don't know who his parents were. I do not know what kind of atmosphere he was raised in. I don't know how he was taught. I don't know all of those things. Those details aren't given. The only thing I do know is that apparently along his growing up and along life's way, Zacchaeus either developed or automatically had in birth, he had a gift for dealing with finances. He had a gift for dealing with money. He had a gift for accounting. And as he began to get older, he realized, you know what? I can make some money with this talent. I have a gift in dealing with finances and money. And he was one of the tax collectors. He would get taxed from his own people. They hated him for it. They hated him because he became so good at taking their money. He would take money right off their table. He would take the money that would feed their children. He would take the money that would take care of their bills and would clothe their families. He got so good at making the money and pinching every little bit he could off of his fellow man that pretty soon he was chief of the publicans and a very, very, very rich man, because he had learned to deceive and manipulate and to twist people so that he can get them for everything they were worth. But I have to believe, after reading this scripture, that surely there must have been something about Zacchaeus that did not like who he was. He was so quick to run to see Jesus. I have to wonder if maybe Zacchaeus every now and then would stop in the middle of his day and say, you know what? I don't like being like this. I don't like the way my life is, and I would like to change. I wish I could be someone else. I wish I could wake up tomorrow morning and everything about me would be completely new, and I would have a fresh start and people wouldn't blame me and judge me for what I've been. I wish I could start over. But the problem was, in these days, there was no such thing as starting over. You see, since sin had come into the world and begun to destroy all of mankind, begin to destroy creation, sin had ravaged everything in earth. And the penalty for sin was death. But what God did is he's allowed the people. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will allow you to bring a sacrifice every year. I will allow you to bring a sin offering. And you can bring that sin offering, whether it's a lamb or goat. You would bring that animal up, and that animal's death would pay the price for your sin for a year. And so each one of them would bring a sin offering, and they would slay it, and the blood of that lamb or the blood of that animal would take the place of that man's blood, for 1 year it would push the sins away. There was no remission. There was no as far as the east is from the west. There was no casting from remembrance. You had another year. 1 year at a time. And Zacchaeus, I imagine sometimes he probably wanted to be different, but he thought, why? What's the use? It doesn't matter. Even if I live my life perfect, at this time next year, once again, every mistake I've ever made is going to come calling and knocking on my door. Every bad decision I've ever made is going to come right back to haunt me. And once again, I'm going to have to kill and have a sin offering that'll take care of the sin in my life. I can't get it out of. I'm stuck with all the junk in my life. I'm stuck with every bad decision, and I'm stuck with who I am. Why change? And it wasn't just Zacchaeus. You can go down and then you have men of God. You have Isaiah. Isaiah said he looked. He said, I looked for a man who could take the place to where I would not have to slay this lamb. He said, but I saw no man. Even the man of God, even if he lived 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years in perfection, every mistake that had ever been made came calling every single year. Even the man of God, even the most respected. And Isaiah said, I looked and I looked for this Messiah that they've talked about. I looked for a Savior. I looked for someone who could stand up for me to where I didn't have to walk every day of my life bound by every sin I've ever committed. He said, but I saw no man. Ezekiel came by later and he said, I sought a man to stand in the gap, but I found none. He said, I looked for a man that could step up and pay this price for me so I wouldn't have to live in bondage to this anymore. Ezekiel said, I needed a Savior, and I looked and I looked and I looked, but I found none. Jeremiah said, he told the people, he said, run to and fro through the city and see if you can find a man that can take the place of this lamb. He said, every year this junk is catching up with me. Every year this sin comes right back to haunt me and trying to come against me. See if you can find a Savior who once and for all can take care of the burden and the nastiness of sin and take care of the bondage of it. See if you can find us a Savior. He said, but they found no man. And Zacchaeus was the same way. Zacchaeus said, why even try? Why even try to turn over a new leaf? It's not going anywhere. I'm stuck with every mistake I've ever made. This is who I am. Why change? If the man of God can't find a man to stand in the gap for him, how in the world am I going to find a Savior? If he can't find a Savior, how can I find one? But God of heaven and earth, Creator of the universe, Creator of you and me, looking down upon His creation, looking down from the throne of heaven, He realized, He said, you are stuck where you're at. And unless someone steps up and takes over, you're not ever going to get out of the death grip of sin. Sin has come in, and that's what sin does. It destroys everything it touches. Sin comes into a marriage, and it tries to destroy a marriage. It comes and it tries to destroy children and grandchildren, homes, finances, churches, families, mindsets, hearts, everything. Sin destroys everything it touches. The world's not where it is because of bad politics. It's where it is because of sin. Marriages are not falling apart left and right because of this book or that. They're falling apart because of sin. Our prisons are full because of sin. Our world is in the condition it is because that's what sin does. It destroys the entire fabric of anything. It destroys everything precious. And God looked down and He said, you don't have a way out. And if you've looked and you've looked and you haven't found anybody that's lived perfect enough, and if you can't find a man, I'll be the man. And God said, you know what? I can live it. I can walk that road and I can do it to perfection. If you don't have a Savior, I'll be the Savior. I'll come down and save my own creation. And you can go to John. It's John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And you go on down a little further and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. You go a little further, it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. God of heaven and earth put on flesh. He became as one of us, and he walked on this earth. He walked the same road we did. He endured every temptation. He went through every single battle of the mind that we have gone through. He went through every single obstacle that we've gone through, but he did not fail. He doesn't know how to fail. He didn't know how to quit, but he said, I tell you what, never again will you wake up in the morning wishing you had a Savior and not be able to find one. And so he had come down to save his creation. And it was noised abroad that he was the Messiah. And I don't know how it happened. I don't know how he heard about it. Maybe it was just an ordinary day like any other. Maybe Zacchaeus was taking somebody's money, stealing some lunch money from a kid or something. Who knows what he was doing? But somebody must have told him, Zacchaeus, have you heard of this man Jesus? No, tell me about him. Zacchaeus, he says he's the Messiah. He says that he has come to take away the sins of the world. Zacchaeus, do you know what this means? This means we don't have to be the way we've always been, and we don't have to live an entire life worried about sin. Zacchaeus, anybody that deals in finances is pretty skeptical. And I'm sure Zacchaeus thought, yeah, but how many times has somebody came and said they were the answer? And it's never turned out. I'm telling you, it's not going to work. I just don't believe it. And regardless of what he may have said, I guarantee you that in the back of his mind, Zacchaeus thought, but oh, if it were only true. What I would give to have a Savior. What I would do to have a chance to get out of the rut that I am in. What I would do to be free from everything that's following me in my past. What I would do to wake up tomorrow morning and not have to look at all the regrets that I have. Oh, what I would do for it to really be him. A few days later, a few weeks later, I'm not sure, but he's going about his business and he hears a crowd. And the crowd is murmuring and they're talking and they're, Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus is coming. Jesus is walking through. And Zacchaeus is thinking, you know what? What if this really is the one? What if it is? I would hate to miss it if he really is who he says he is. And so the Bible says that he tries to go and he wants to see Jesus, but there's a problem. The Bible says he is small of stature. It's easy to get bitter about things like that. It wasn't his fault he was small. It wasn't his fault he was short. He was born the way he was. That's genetics. You can't blame that on anybody. He didn't have anything to do with it. He was born with those circumstances. There's some people in this room, you were born into a home that has just about crippled your mind, and it wasn't your fault. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose an abusive home. You didn't choose an abusive parent. You didn't choose what kind of type of home you were born in. And it's easy sometimes to look around at everybody else and think, but you don't understand. I was born in a situation you can't even imagine, and it wasn't my fault. And Zacchaeus could have became very angry saying, I could see Jesus if I wasn't created with all this junk in my life. I could see Jesus if it wouldn't have been for my small stature. The problem is as he begins to try to get through the crowd won't let him go through. You take our money, you steal our money, you do everything you can to destroy our lives, and now you want me to get out of the way so you can get ahead of me in line to see Jesus? Step aside. Now we got an entirely different problem. You see, he was mad because he couldn't see Jesus because of circumstances beyond his control. But now he can't get to Jesus because of his own mistakes. He says, now I can't get through the crowd because of all the bad decisions I've made. So it doesn't matter whether it was a condition I was born with or the mistakes I've made in my past. I've got to say, I may have a Savior out there, but I can't even get to him. Because I got so much junk in my life, I don't even know how to approach him. I don't even know how to get into his presence because there's so much stuff in my life. And it's not fair. But the Bible says that he ran ahead. That tells me that he thought, you know what? If there's a chance, if there's one chance that this man can save me from my sin, that this man can change my life, I don't want to just try to barely get past the crowd. I'd better run as fast as I can. The Bible says that he ran ahead of the crowd. And he found a sycamore tree. And he began to climb. Number one, you have to understand, the sycamore tree is in the fig tree family. A fig tree was despised by the Jews because figs were used to feed the swine, the pigs. And Jews didn't want anything to do with the pigs. And so they would not even associate with the trees that were used to feed them with. And so a Jew would not even be caught next to a sycamore tree, but because of the branch and the way the sap on that tree, you couldn't come in contact with a sycamore tree without it becoming apparent on everything you touched it with. And so they wouldn't even be around it. But when Zacchaeus runs ahead, he finds a sycamore tree. And the Bible says that he begins to climb. Here's what I think is so awesome. He says he ran ahead to see Jesus. Now that would have been fine right there. That's very explanatory. He wants to see Jesus. But the Bible says he goes one step further. He says he ran to see Jesus, who he was. Why reiterate the obvious? He said, because I didn't run up there. I wasn't trying to see what everybody else was saying. He said, I wanted to see who he was to me. That's wonderful that he was your Savior. And that's wonderful that he did a miracle for you. And I'm really glad he did that for your family and for your children. But that doesn't help me. I'm glad you got a miracle, but I still got problems. He said, what I wanted to know was, can this Jesus be my Savior? I know what he did for you, but what can he do for me? I know he healed your family, but what can he do with my family? I'm interested in knowing him for myself. It's not enough to hear your stories about Jesus and your tales and your testimonies. I need my own experience, and I need it for myself. I can't make it through life off of your pastor's testimonies. I can't make it through life off of my family stories. My dad raised in this. My grandfather, a pastor. That doesn't help me. At some point, I've got to find a place and say, Jesus, who are you to me? To Joel McCoy, are you my Savior? Funny thing is, while Zacchaeus is climbing a tree, embarrassing himself to some others, while he's getting a better view of Jesus, he is making himself completely obvious. In the middle of a crowd of people at eye level, how can you ignore the man suspended above the crowd? That's what praise and worship does. It attracts the attention of God. That's why I want to always be free with my worship and free with my praise, because the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people, and that's why we praise and worship. It's not that so we can say on Sunday night we shout. No. I'm not trying to get your attention. I just want him to get I want to get his attention. I want him to know that I'm here and I need him, and I need him to notice me. And Jesus comes up to him. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus comes down. You don't know me. You're coming to my house? I am a messed up sinner. No one in this entire crowd wants to go home for lunch with me. And you want to go with me? What? Do you even know who I am? And I can see Jesus saying, Zacchaeus, you're the reason I'm here. I didn't come for perfect people that have it all together and don't need a Savior. I didn't come for someone that's got it all together, knows the Scripture by heart and doesn't need to pray and doesn't need to worship. I can't do anything with them. I came for those that were lost. I came for people that needed a Savior. I came for a drug addict that every morning he wakes up and wishes with everything within him that he could have a new future. He said, I came for the alcoholic who hasn't had a day sober as long as he can remember. I came for a broken home, for an abused family, an abused child, a torn family, a broken home. I came for the broken. I came for the hurting, and I came for the people that needed a Savior. He said, Zacchaeus, you're the whole reason that I am here. Don't count yourself out because you're messed up and because you've had some mistakes. That's what attracted me to you. I know what you can be if you only had a Savior, but I'm the only one that can do that for you, Zacchaeus. You go a little further and you find a completely different atmosphere. You find where Jesus has been brought before Pilate and the people are wanting to crucify him. Pilate goes in and he's trying. He doesn't even want to crucify Jesus. He goes in, he questions him this way and that way, and he does everything he can do, and he goes out and he said, listen, I find no fault in this man. Pilate, after examining Jesus, tells the crowd, I find no fault in him. And I can see Jesus thinking, of course you don't find any fault in me. You see, every year that you've been bringing a lamb, sin has destroyed every perfect thing that I ever created. So even the lamb that you were sacrificing for your sin, even though it was the best you had to offer, it still had blemishes. And I knew that it was going to take a spotless, perfect sacrifice to remit your sins once and forever. He said, of course you found no fault in me. I am the spotless lamb. I am the perfect lamb. I am the only sacrifice that you'll ever find that will make sure that these sins don't ever come knocking at your door for the rest of eternity. He said, it's not going to come back a year later. It's not going to come back in 2 years. He said, it's going to be gone even from my remembrance as far as the east is from the west. He said, you've never had a sacrifice like the one you're about to have. He said, when this perfect blood, it begins to pour out on that altar in the shape of a cross, he said, never again will humanity walk around empty in despair saying, I wish I had a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. That was what he came for. The stripes on his back for our healing, that was just extra. Bruised for our iniquities. He didn't take the easy road. He came out to him. Pilate was trying to tell him. He was trying to give him a way out, saying, look, I can help you. If you'll work with me, I can get you out of this situation. And Jesus told him, he said, for this cause came I into the world. You came to get a 401k. You're trying to build a family. You're trying to have children. You're trying to get a better house, a better car. I came to die. I didn't come to live and create a little kingdom here and there, get a nice house, nice this, nice living. He said, I came to pay the price for your sin. I came to die. He said, and I will not let you down. They hung him on that cross. You know what I think is so amazing? Sometimes I see the little fish sign on the back of a car, and that's all fine and good. And I see people who say, oh, well, I'm a Christian, and look, I got a cross here, and I got one in the living room. Oh, he's so much bigger than a sign on the back of a car. He's so much bigger than a cross hanging on the wall. If we only knew who we have at the mention of his name, if we only knew who is right within our next breath, if we only knew who we serve, I'm telling you, most of the things we worry about would never even enter our mind again. After they beat him 39 times, if they'd have beat him 40 times, custom was if a man was whipped 40 times, he had to be turned loose. And the reason it was that high is because most times by the time a man had been beaten that much, he was dead anyway from loss of blood. Our Savior took 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails. Then he took his own cross almost the entire way up to Calvary. They hung him on a cross, and for 6 hours, taking every breath he had was by pulling himself up on nails, and he lived for 6 hours. He is not inadequate. He is not somebody that is just going to roll over anytime you hit a rough spot in the road. The Bible says that he gave up the ghost. God said, I've got to leave this body, because if I don't, my spirit inside of this flesh will keep on, the heart will keep on beating with not an ounce of blood in it. This body will keep on living beyond what you can even imagine. I'm going to have to exit this body for it to die, because as long as my spirit's inside of it, you can't kill it. What's awesome is that same spirit now lives in you and me. That same spirit that nothing else could kill. It's the same thing that goes with us into every trial, into every single thing that we come up against, into every battle, into every fight. You're not sitting there defenseless. You're not a victim. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He said, hey, in this world you will suffer trials, tribulations. He said, but fear not. I have overcome the world, and I'm living inside of you. Everything you need to live right in this world is inside of you. You are not a victim. You're not a punching bag. You're not walking around and just waiting for everything to go wrong. He said, no. You can live life and life more abundantly. Here's what I think is so awesome. Sitting there at the cross, you have one of the most cultural spread views as you'll ever find. At one place you find Mary looking up at Jesus through the eyes of someone who's been faithful since the first breath he took on earth. Right next to him, you have John looking up at him. John, who the disciple who Jesus loved, who just a few days ago ran out on him in the Garden of Gethsemane because he was worried about his own life. Ran out on him and abandoned him. And now you find him back at the cross saying, "Jesus, I'm sorry, I got caught up, but I'm not walking away anymore." The only disciple to be at the cross. You go over a little further and you see the fickle crowd, the angry crowd, who just a few days ago were singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Now they're screaming, "Crucify, crucify." A bitter crowd, spitting, yelling, slapping, angry mob. And then on the other side, you see Roman soldiers who could not care less. They're just gambling over his clothing. It's not their God. They don't care who he is. This is just their job. And it'd be easy to look up. And I can almost see Mary, the mother. I can see John looking up at him saying, "Why are you still on that cross for this rabble? Look what we've done to our Savior. Look what we did to our own Creator. And still, you want to pay for my sin? Why?" It's not the view of the cross that makes the difference. It's the view from the cross. Because when Jesus looked down, he said, "John, I don't see a backslider. I don't see somebody who ran out on me. I just see a man that needed a Savior. I just see a man that needed someone to help him. I don't see a broken man." He said, "John, if you could see through my eyes, I see the man that just a few chapters later on in the Bible is going to be describing heaven through his own eyes. He's going to be writing books that for the rest of eternity, till I come back for my people, people are going to be knowing about me through your words. I don't see somebody that's messed up." He said, "I see the crowd. I see them angry. I see them swearing. I see the spit coming at me. I see all that, but I don't see an angry people." He said, "All I see are a bunch of people that have whose lives have been ravaged by sin and they need a Savior. All I see are a group of people that need me to finish what I started. All I see are families and homes and men and women, husbands and wives and children that are caught up in sin and caught up in this world, in this cyclone, and they just need a way out." He said, "I don't see Roman soldiers who hate me and don't care. I see somebody who's never heard about me. I see someone who's never heard the gospel. They don't even know that they're lost. They don't even know there's a way out of their situation. They just need a Savior." What a Savior. I was sitting there thinking today, and I was, boy, I wanted to shout, and I thought I had exactly what I was going to preach tonight, and as I began to just sit there, I just cut the lights off in the room so I couldn't see anything else, and you just begin to let my mind wonder about all the things he's done for me, and I start thinking about it, and I'm thinking, my God, what a Savior. All the things that should have destroyed my life. The things that should have killed me. Do you know when I was born, I wasn't even supposed to be born. I was supposed to have been born brain dead. Umbilical cord wrapped around my neck. I had to completely, they told my mother, they said, "You're going to have to abort him or you're going to die yourself." 8 and a half months pregnant, she said something began to get on her at the front of a church, and something told her, "If you'll begin to worship, I'll do what you can't do." And she began to worship, and she began to praise God. And she said, in the middle of her worshiping, grown men running down from the back, the ushers trying to make her sit down because of the dangers it could cause. But while she was worshiping, she said, "I felt you turn." Went back the next day. The doctor said, "I don't understand it. The heartbeat's fine. The brain waves are fine. The umbilical cord's not around it. I don't know what's going on, but something has happened. I wasn't even supposed to be here." At 16 years old, flying as fast as I could, me and my brother hauling a big load of concrete from a construction job, top to heel doing 80 miles an hour, and there was a wreck right on the other side. I didn't know what to do, and I went off to the side in my vehicle. The lady behind me came up, tears in her eyes afterwards. When it was all said and done, I was sitting there, and I was just glad I made it through. She said, "Son," she said, "when you went over the side of that hill," she said, "your truck went up like that, and the tires were all this way," she said, "and it stopped. And it set down on all tires." She said, "I've never seen anything like that in my life. I know what a say. I've got a Savior." Headed to California. It wasn't very far from here. Headed to California, 75 miles an hour. My brother, none of us belted in. We were stupid. Just me and my two brothers and my dad. My brother at about 6 in the morning fell asleep at the wheel doing 80 miles or 75 miles an hour. Went off a ravine, hit a culvert, flipped our Suburban 4 times, twisted the axles off of it. State trooper came up. He said, I've never seen anybody walk out of an accident like that. State trooper, tears rolling down his eyes, and all 4 of us walked out. I think one of us had a scratch on us. God has been good to me. And I don't ever want to get to the place where I can walk inside a room and forget where I came from and forget how good He's been to me. Pastor, you want revival? I'm with you. You want to pray all night? I'm with you. Because God has been too good to me for me to just sit by and watch you do all the work and watch everybody else do it. Pastor, if you need somebody, we got to reach this city. This isn't a messed up city. It's just a city that needs a Savior. It's not a bunch of messed up alcoholics and drug addicts. They're just people that, but by the grace of God, we'd be in the same situation. They just need a Savior. And we've got what they need. I can't afford for this to become my own little personal place on Sunday. Everybody needs to know about this place. Everybody needs to have what we have here. Everybody needs the opportunity. Musicians, you can get ready. The sad part is, boy, this entire world has gotten hung up on this love, love, love. God is love. God is love. Yes, He is. But God's love won't save you. God's love will tear down every wall from here to your heart. It'll tear down every obstacle. It'll tear down everything that's ever tried to get in your way of getting to Him. Love will knock everything down from you to Him. But He won't make you come to Him. God's love will open the door, but it is my response to that love that makes all the difference. We have a free will. We have a Savior. If we want one, we've got one. And you've never had a Savior like Him. Zacchaeus coming up. I can see, the Bible says that He knows even the intent of our heart. So I have no doubt in my mind that Jesus knew exactly what was going on the edge of that crowd. He knew that Zacchaeus was stuck, and he knew he needed a way out. And I could see Jesus walking through the crowd saying, Zacchaeus, I know you're there. Buddy, I know you're hurting, and I know you're tired, and I know you're angry, you're bitter. Life has just did a number on you. And I know that you want a way out, Zacchaeus. So I've let the sun come out every morning. And I've let the rain come down from the sky. And Zacchaeus, there's a tree that I created up on the road a little bit. I grew that tree. Zacchaeus, if you really want to see me, it's there waiting on you. If you really want to see me and know me for yourself, there's a way. The Bible says for every temptation, He has provided a way of escape. He says, Zacchaeus, it's up to you what you want to do with it. But if you want to know me and you want to see me, I've opened it wide open. It's all yours. But buddy, you're going to have to take off running. And you're going to have to forget about what everybody else thinks about you. You're going to have to forget about how much you make, how rich you are. You're going to have to forget about what people think about you, making a fool out of yourself, climbing up a tree. But you're going to have to go, Zacchaeus. You don't have much time before this crowd gets on down the road and all of a sudden somebody else will be what's yours. But if you want it, Zacchaeus, take off. It's waiting on you, but I won't make you do it. I see people all the time hurting, broken, looking for a way out. And I do this right here every single service, and I tell them there's an altar. You don't have to leave the same way. You don't have to walk back. You don't have to go home the same way you came. You don't have to go home to the same marriage, the same home, the same kid. God can change your life. He can do everything that you can't do. You've got a Savior. There's an altar. And I see people that want it so bad, but they're not ready to step out. I'm not a forceful person. I'm not pushy. I won't embarrass anybody. I won't make anybody do it, but it's here if you want it. What I do know is Jesus made sure that never again would one of us have to examine our life and say, I wish I had a Savior, and not be able to find one? If you want a Savior, you've got one. If you need a way out, you've got one. If you need a change and you need something to break in your home, you've got everything you need. It's all yours. What a Savior. What a Savior. I don't know what your needs are. Can you stand with me? I've went so much longer than what I intended on, and I do apologize for that. But I just somehow want us to catch a glimpse of just what's going on right here. This is not just another Sunday night. This isn't just a place where we come and sing a few songs and we did our deed for the day. The song said blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken. That's any day of the week in His presence. Families are mended right here. Children are saved right here. Homes are put together right here. But I've got to get past coming up and just saying, God, and please, please, I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, I don't think we have long. I believe that very, very soon God is coming back for a people that have made themselves ready. Don't walk out without letting everything break in His presence. Don't leave out of this place without hearing His voice, feeling His presence, letting Him break everything that needs to be broken. Don't let an altar call go by and let it just be another time where I went up for just a little while and left. If we only knew what is available right here, there isn't anything in this world that could keep us off an altar. There's not a restaurant in town that can make me walk away from this altar. There's not a job that I go to in the morning that could pull me away from this altar. If I only knew what would happen and take place right here at this altar, you'd never get me away from it. Everything I need is at an altar. If you need a Savior here, which I'm going to tell you, I've been baptized. I've had my sins washed away. I've been filled with His Spirit. But you know what? I woke up this morning and I still needed a Savior. And tomorrow morning, as soon as my eyes open, you know the first thing I'm going to be looking for? A Savior. Because every day of my life, I need a Savior. It's not a one-time thing where I get Him and then that's all I need. No, no, no. Every day of my life, I need Him. I don't know what it is or where you're at. I don't know what point you're at in life right now. But I wonder if there's anybody saying, you know what, I need a way out. I need something to break. Preacher, you don't know. You don't know what's going on with my children. You don't know that I sit down sometimes and I worry and I cry because I know that if God doesn't intervene, my kids are gone. Preacher, you don't know that it's going to be a miracle if me and my wife make it through this year. You have no clue the fights that go on behind our doors. You have no idea the hell that we are fighting that's come against our family. Pastor, preacher, you don't have any idea the things that are pulling at me. There's addictions and things that I used to be hooked on, and it's been messing with me, and nobody has a clue that I've gotten caught up in it again. Preacher, you don't have a clue, but I need a Savior. Some of you young people, I can see it, preacher. My daddy's been in church. I've been in church my whole life, but my whole family doesn't even know what I've been caught up in lately. They don't even know the trips that my mind's been taking me on. They don't have any idea the things that I'm wrestling with, but I need a Savior. If you need a Savior, you've got one. You know what I think would be the most amazing thing? If we would find somewhere and we would turn this building into a prayer room for a little while. I know Sunday night we usually shout and we run and everything else, but I think it'd be so in order right now to take a moment and turn this sanctuary into a prayer room. You want to pray in the back, find somewhere in the back. You want to find a pew, find a pew. You want to find an altar. I love praying at an altar. But find somewhere where you're not worried about what anybody else thinks and say, God, I've been so busy. Let me set the phone down for a little bit. Put the iPad down. Turn off anything. I watch it. Turn off the radio. Get my mind off the bills. Get my mind off of where I'm going to eat. God, how did I get so caught up in life? How did I get so busy that I forgot that you're everything I need? Come on, can we push everything else for a little bit? Can we push everything out of our mind and find somewhere and pray the way we used to? Pray like someone who didn't have a tomorrow. Pray like someone who was on their deathbed. Pray like someone who didn't know what was going to happen with their family. If you need a Savior, you've got one. If you need a way out, you've got one. Hallelujah.